Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After extensive research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create Superfood Complete, made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several that are vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Tucker, oh, he loves it, and I'm sure yours will too. Go to badlandsfood.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com, badlandsfood.com/Zabe today. Today on the ZabeCast, Aaron Rodgers to the Jets looks like it's all over, but the dude broing on Pat McAfee. Now we'll see how much of Aaron's grocery list Woody Johnson was able to spring for. Special guest Mark Spencer talks World Baseball Classic. All that plus bifurcation and put the playmaker back on the air. Stat. Your bonus 45-minute edition of Pure Me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go. Here we go. Wednesday, March 15, 2023. Thank you for downloading. And sorry, but the first two of the first four not available for comment because they occurred too late for the recording of today's podcast. I'm enjoying those games right now, as a matter of fact. The gargantuan bracket is out, and it will be available today, this morning. In fact, it was out last night, Tuesday night. Thank you. Hat tip to Brad Turner, who has done his absolute finest with this year's edition of the one bracket to rule them all. Go to my Twitter feed to see it pinned at the top of my Twitter feed, at Zabe, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. Download, print out, make it on poster board, put it in your man cave, your bar, wherever you want to put it, at your place of work, and enjoy. Come on and watch some basketball. So it looks like Aaron Rodgers is probably going to end up on the Jets after all. Today, the Jets signed Alan Lazard, a overachieving, good-blocking, good-handed, large wide receiver of, I'd say, modest production. In his 5 years in Green Bay, I think it's five, he ramped up his catches from like nothing his rookie year to like 20, 30, 40, 60 catches, six touchdowns last year for the Packers. He was no WR1 replacement for... Shut up, alarm. Don't know why you're going off right now. It's 8 o'clock at night. He was no WR1 replacement for one Devontae Adams. But he gets a modest-sized deal, 4 years, $44 million, something like that, 22 guaranteed. That's the ballpark, about $11 million. Not terrible. Good deal for him, and he's on the Jets. And this came just hours after it was revealed by Diana Rossini of ESPN that Rodgers had given the Jets a wish list, not a demand list. She was clear to clarify. She looped back to make sure people understood this. But it still comes off as an eye-rolling, oh God, this guy type of thing. Rodgers told the Jets he would like Alan Lazard, ding. Randall Cobb, who is, I think, going to be 34 and is in declining production, to be sure, but is one of Rodgers' boys. You saw him walking off the field into the tunnel at the end of the season after losing to the Lions arm in arm with good old Cobby. Mercedes Lewis, who I think is 73 years old at this point. Just kidding. He might be 37, though. Old dog or big dog Mercedes. And Odell Beckham Jr., who has not played in a year and wants $20 million a year. Good luck with that, Aaron Rodgers. I think it's pretty clear at this point Rodgers is going. The deal is going to get done. We'll see how much of the money the Packers may or may not have to eat or may choose to eat in order to get better compensation. We'll see what they get back. The time to exit is now. I have no doubt Rodgers will be very good with the Jets. I would bet that he can lift them into the playoffs. They may win a game there. And for the Jets, that's going to feel amazing, and their fans. But the reason the Packers, I think, are comfortable moving on is that they've realized, look, as good as Rodgers is and has been, we can't get home with him. We can't get all the way. I've said this during the year, I'll say it again. Rodgers is maybe the least physical of starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And by least physical, I mean the least willing to take risky runs, to dive head first, to go for it on fourth and short, to do sneaks. His legs are nimble in spurts at times, but they are not dangerous at all. And the game has changed. When people said Rodgers looked old and cold against the Niners 2 years ago in the playoffs at home, they were dead on. He did look that way. And the quarterback position, while yes, it's a passing position, and he is still one of the best passers from a clean pocket that walks the planet Earth, the job requires more than that. And I think the Packers know they need a younger, tougher, more spry guy to possibly get over the top and get home. And they're hoping that guy is Jordan Love. And I hope that guy is Jordan Love. We shall see. The funny meme, though, is that right now, Aaron Rodgers is both the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, the general manager of the New York Jets, and the owner of the Chicago Bears all at once. Quite a feat. Pour one out to one Dick Fosbury. Who, you might ask? Well, young folk, come gather around. Dick Fosbury invented something called the Fosbury Flop. It was a revolutionary way to compete in the high jump in the Olympics. This is pure sport, by the way, the high jump. Very simple. It's like, well, here's a bar. We're going to raise it up, jump over it. Yeah. Well, how should I jump over it? Any way you want. High jumpers back in the day, Hall had pretty much the same technique, which was to go parallel to the bar, jump, and then with their chest pointed down, kind of scissor kick their way over the bar onto the mat. Fosbury, though, decided, I bet there's a better way to do this. So he ran at an angle, generating a lot more speed and momentum towards the bar, and then launched himself and twisted onto his back, flying over the bar and then kicking up his legs at the last moment to clear the bar safely and land on his back. At first, he was ridiculed for this until he cleared 7 feet, 4 1/4 inches to win the gold medal at the Olympics in Mexico City. And pretty soon after that, the old way of doing things had gone by the wayside. 28 of the 40 jumpers in the following Olympics used the Fosbury flop method. And in 1976, not long after, less than 10 years after Fosbury revolutionized the sport, the last guy doing the old method had finally won a medal, and that was it, 1976 in Montreal. Rest in peace, Dick Fosbury died of a recurrence of leukemia, or lymphoma, excuse me, at the age of 76. I got to thinking about people whose techniques, sporting athletes whose techniques revolutionized their sports. And the only comparison to the Fosbury flop I can think of is the soccer-style kicker. And the guy that is credited as being the first soccer-style kicker in the NFL is one Pete Gogolak, who kicked for the Bills and the Giants in the 1960s and 70s. And he was the first guy to go at the ball soccer-style, to come at it from the side and to sweep his foot through and to hit the ball with the insole or the top part of his foot instead of the toe. And at first, I'm sure he was ridiculed. And then people said, wait a minute, he's really getting good contact on this. A lot more consistent as well. Not squibbing the ball left and squibbing the ball right off the toe. Doesn't need a special toe punch shoe to do it. I don't know, this guy might be onto something. Pretty soon, the last straight-on kicker, I think, was Mark Moseley. There might have been somebody else in the NFL, but that style was completely eradicated. Other revolutionary ways to change certain athletic acts have come and have not necessarily succeeded. In golf, Sam Snead would putt side saddle, facing the hole, both feet together, and do it sort of croquet style. By the way, it's illegal to straddle the line of your putt, but he would do it side saddle, and that was his way of doing it. That did not catch on. Rick Barry shot free throws underhanded and was very good at it, deadly accurate. It looked silly. He looked like a grade schooler, but still, he didn't care. He was hitting like 90% underhanded. That did not take off. In bowling today, two-handers have become so much the rage. My producer, Josh, who bowled competitively in college, says that there is a move to maybe restrict and or outlaw that. I don't know enough about whether two-handed bowling is an abomination to the sport or not, but it doesn't seem, well, I don't know. Seems like you should have to bowl with your fingers in the holes with one hand instead of two. If you have somebody who revolutionized a technique in a sport, a la Pete Gogolak or Dick Fosbury, do let me know. I'm curious to hear about it. Michael Irvin should be put back on the NFL Network now. I saw briefly today that he had dropped his defamation suit against Marriott, and that signaled to me, oh, wait a minute, there must have been something damaging on the videotape that came out, which Marriott refused to turn over and got a judge in one of the courtrooms really pissed off, like, no, you don't get to say we're not doing it. Turn the fucking surveillance video over. They finally did. And I thought, man, it's going to show something really bad. There's nothing on it. There's nothing. It's like a two-minute conversation, two-minute and change. Irvin, I think, maybe touches the woman briefly on the elbow. She might touch him. It was in full plain view of a bunch of other patrons of the hotel. She walked away. There was another man that confronted the woman angrily. Who knows what that was about? But there's no confirmation. There's no audio that confirms what the woman claims Irvin said, which was, are you familiar with a black man being inside of you? An obvious sexual reference. This is an injustice for Michael Irvin, and I can't believe that I'm caping up for a dirty, stinking cowboy like him. But still, if there's going to be any justice in the world, especially for men who are often at the weaponized end of the legal system from women who just don't fucking care about lying, then this has to be fixed right away. What will the NFL Network do? What will the league do? Will they cower to, I'm sure, a vocal minority of women's groups who say, you gotta believe all women? Really? Look at the videotape. You're going to ruin a man's career. Take him off the air over this? If that's the case, nobody's safe. All right. My man Mark Spencer took a moment to pick up my phone call because he was at the World Baseball Classic in Miami, had such a moving, powerful, wonderful experience. He's in the baseball business. You'll hear about that in a second. But he just wanted to share the experience with me and talk about how much national pride still matters to some countries and to some players in baseball, unlike some Americans. Mark Spencer is next, right after this. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Hello, sir.
My man, I am so glad you reached out to me. I was thinking about you during Sawgrass Week, and I was like, fuck, I got to catch up with Spence.
Oh, yeah. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Remind me of how I bill you before I start here. Because you work for, I forget the outfit you work for. It's a it's Rapsodo, right?
No. So, you know, True Temper, the golf shaft company.
Yeah.
So I went to work for them 4.5 years ago. They started to make baseball bats.
Right.
And then we purchased there's a really popular, you see it on players in the majors too, real popular custom fielding glove company called 44. You see it all over the place. They do custom gloves. They're real
how
swaggy,
custom,
right?
Like, what is custom about them? The leather, the colors, the webbing,
everything. You can get
okay
the webbing, the stitching. You can get the laces a certain color. You can get the webbing a certain design, like exactly what you want. It's custom only. They're not for sale. Like the guy pitching right now for Dominican on the mound, I just looked at it. He's using a 44 glove. The guy's pitching right now.
All
so.
Right.
Like Nestor Cortez, he has it. Verdugo, he uses 44. Like it's a ton of guys. Anyway, 44 Pro is the name of the company. We bought them, and now I am now the product manager in developing a bat line for them. They never made bats, so now I'm developing a baseball bat for them. And we Georgia Tech is using them.
Who is we? You say we bought them.
Yeah, True Temper.
True Temper. Okay. All right. Yeah. So you've been working for True Temper for a while now.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many years?
4.5 years now.
Oh, man. Time flies. Before that, you were running a
baseball facility.
Yes. How is it that I haven't talked to you in 4.5 years? I just forgot that you no longer work there. Last time I think we talked, it might have been, goddamn, 4.5 years ago. That's outrageous.
No, it hadn't been 4 years. We've talked, and I probably didn't talk enough about me. Because, you know, it's all about me. I should talk about
Listen, I like letting people know the cool things that my friends do. Because that's what people love about this podcast is I've got people out there in the field in the industry. And so Spence here, Mark Spencer, texted me out of the blue today just to say I'm driving home from Miami all the way up to Jacksonville. And I was just at the World Baseball Classic, and I've got to talk to somebody about baseball, national pride, what the game means, what it could be even better, and et cetera, et cetera. And I said, perfect, let's do it tonight on the podcast, because I was blown away at the Shohei Ohtani bomb in Japan to the flag-waving, psychotically passionate fans. And even more incredible was the fact that they passed the ball around to take photos of it with not a single concern that it would ever make it back to the rightful owner of the guy who caught it. That's a fucking culture that's got a leg up on us. Right, Spence?
Oh, unbelievable, right? Like, and I really think the same thing would have happened in Miami. I think
Who is in the Miami bracket? What teams?
Okay, yeah, so the Miami bracket is Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Israel.
And
I Israel with an accent.
Israel. Yeah. Okay. So, right. Yeah.
So it is a group of death. I mean, it is.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So not only like I'm right now coming up to bat in the Dominican versus Israel game. Okay. Coming up to bat in this next inning as we speak is going to be Juan Soto, Manny Machado. I mean, So a lot of these WBC teams, you know, these other countries, they have some major league players.
Sure.
Right? Like, I think Japan has two, and the rest play, you know, they're in Korea and Japan. You know, maybe Australia would have like Canada, you know, they got Freeman and then like another guy and then a couple guys. These teams, you know, the Dominican and Puerto Rico and in Venezuela,
loaded.
They don't just have major league guys.
No, they got superstars.
They got all stars.
Yeah. Yeah, they're absolutely loaded. And I saw, too, this was great. I saw where a Nicaraguan pitcher who was not under contract with anybody struck out, get ready, Soto, Julio Rodriguez, and Rafael Devers in one game. And immediately after the game, a scout came up and said, here, we'd like to sign you to our farm system. Classic.
Yeah, the Detroit Tiger guy, scout, reached out within an hour. The kid is 21 years old, 5'11", like 170 pounds. He's never been out of Nicaragua. So he's never been to any type of showcase or anything like that. So if you were to ever know of him, you would have to have gone into the, you know, the club league level inside Nicaragua to see this kid pitch. And the coaches came out today and said he was the last player chosen to make the teams.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This, I mean, what a life-changing game for him.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah, really great. And, you know, there are some hitters that I thought, some quality hitters. You'll get some guys. So what will happen, you know, with a few of these guys is they'll get, like, you know, if they got the right agent, you know, they'll get, like, a little $10,000 to $20,000, you know, little bump. And say, okay, we'll give you 2 months in the extended league in Florida, and they'll get a chance, you know. And so it's not like the guys they're going to sign for the World Baseball Classic are going to, you know, go right to the double or triple A stuff. But you know, that kid, you know, he's 21, so he's not a kid. He looks like he's, you know, 13. But
right,
you know, they'll you know probably give him a little bump, and then they'll send him to Florida and just okay, you know, how much of what we saw was real? Or how much was the moment?
Right, Right. We don't know, and that's the beautiful mystery of the game. So the World Baseball Classic is back now after a couple year hiatus because of the pandemic, and it's only goes off once every 4 years anyway, right?
Every 3 years, yeah.
Every three years, okay, yes.
Yeah, the last time this was played was 17. I mean, it's 2023. The last time this was played was 2017.
Now, there is a little bit of pushback from some of the pitchers in the majors saying, look, we don't like ramping up our arms to full go this early in the season. And I think Max Scherzer said he doesn't mind the concept. He'd rather it, though, be in the middle of the season.
Yeah, that's...
Your thoughts on that?
Okay, don't get me started, right? I think Max Scherzer... Max Scherzer, okay, is embarrassed. He had to come out and say that. You know why he's embarrassed?
Why?
Here's a dude that's already got his money and has chosen his money over national pride, because what he saw the other day was a guy in Sandy Alcantara, who is the right now the Cy Young winner from last year, who does not have a big contract. Okay, if he gets hurt, that's hundreds of millions of dollars flushed down the toilet.
So why was Alcantara pitching and Scherzer not?
Because of national pride. And Scherzer chose money over national pride and was embarrassed when he saw Pablo Lopez starting and he saw Alcantara starting. And so the next day, it's amazing. The next day he comes out with this, oh, I don't want to ramp up. No, you chose your money and you saw America get their asses beat.
Sure.
Okay. And you know you could have helped your country. And you chose your money over your country.
He's not the only one, though, Spence, who has said it's not ideal for arms. And he's trying. He's old, too. Can you at least give him that bit of a break?
Nope. No,
you're not going to do
it. I'm in the business. With the training techniques we have now, that, you know, I'm going to, you know, drive line with the weighted balls and how much we know about arm fatigue. There is no reason. And these are all pitch count. You can't throw more than 65 pitches.
Right.
And so here's the thing. The reason he said that, look at the timing of when he said it. He said it after America got our asses beat by Mexico and embarrassed.
Right.
And he said it after, you know, seeing Sandy and these other guys pitch who don't have these giant contracts, and they chose their national pride over the money, and he was embarrassed.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough on that. Now, if it came push to shove, could the U.S., with the best of the best of our best, beat everybody else in the world in baseball?
I don't know.
That's a maybe, you, right? It would be a hell of a fight, wouldn't it?
I'm telling you, with watching Venezuela play in person, watching them beat the Dominican and then beat Puerto Rico in person and being there for that, the Venezuelan team, man, those at-bats were amazing at-bats. Absolutely. You know, when you got Miggy, you know, batting like eighth just as a ceremonial guy, right? Here's a freaking Hall of Famer as a ceremonial player. You know, you got Altuve out there. And it's just flat out amazing. And you know, baseball's funny because, you know, if it's a fastball down the middle and you're hunting fastball, I don't care who just threw it. That sucker's gone.
Yeah. But the ball doesn't know how much money is in the fingertips of the guy who threw it. So
no, I think Scherzer, but back to, and I'll wrap, put a wrap on this on the American side, is I think Scherzer's comments would have had a little more weight if he would have said it 2 months ago by saying, look, man, I can't play because of this. But by watching America get embarrassed and knowing he could have helped, he had to come out and say that to try to save face.
Yeah. The, you know, it seems like MLB is embracing this and pushing this, and it seems like most of the players are fine with it and kind of like it, actually. Certainly the international guys who are playing for national pride, they certainly like it. So what's the future of this event?
Oh, I think it should stay this, just like the World Cup in soccer.
Okay.
It should stay every 3 years. I don't know how to set the scene for you. So we are renting a house that's four blocks from the stadium in Miami.
And they played this down at Marlins Park, right?
Yeah, Marlins Park, downtown Miami. Actually, Little Havana, so it's across I-95 from downtown. It's in a great city. The park in Miami is in a great spot. you know, the neighbor, it's where the old Orange Bowl used to be. It's in Little Havana, so it's not the most wealthy neighborhood.
How are the crowds for the games?
Packed and loud and festive. Festive.
Sellouts?
Packed to the top. It's sellouts.
Wow, so okay.
So I've got I go to Marlins games there, and I've never seen the stadium like that. You know, we have
four
season ticket holders for the Marlins. And, you know, I've been to games with 15, like, you know, when big names are playing, or maybe, you know, the Mets or somebody's come to town and there's 20, 25, 30,000. But I've never seen it like this, where it's just up to the top, you know, packed. And, you know, I had to come home for the last couple days to work. My two sons that are 18 and 21, you know, they're there in the house and they're still going to the games.
Nice.
And I'm going back this weekend. And so I've sold a few of my tickets. I just sold my ticket for the Puerto Rico versus Dominican game, which will be tomorrow night at 7, which is the final game of the group play. And it turns out it's going to be an elimination game Venezuela is locked in. I'm telling you. So I sold one of my seats, which was face value is like $20. What am I ready for $375?
Wow. Okay, couple things to unwrap here. One,
yeah.
Do you still live in Jacksonville?
I do still live in Jacksonville.
But you've got Marlins season tickets?
Yeah, so we got the 10-game package for four of us. We
How
really
long of a
Miami.
Drive is that?
No traffic, just under 5. But if you get there anytime after 3 p.m., it's 5.5, 6.
Wow. And you go down there for about 10 games a year.
Yeah, so we'll make a weekend of it. We'll sell a couple. I'm like, we're not going to make the opening weekend with the Mets, so I just sold those.
Okay.
Know, just face value. And
So the tickets for the public, the first issuance, were not gougy. $20 a pop, you say?
Okay, yeah. So you only were able to order World Baseball Classic tickets in advance and pick your seats if you were a Marlins season ticket holder.
Oh, okay.
And that is, so we've been planning on this for a year.
So how does this house rent?
Yeah.
So how does the average Cuban baseball fan of limited means go to these games? Or is
it ain't limited means, man.
Cubans got money down there.
it's Cubans, it's Dominicans, it's Venezuelans and Puerto Ricans.
And they find the money to get to the games.
Oh, they got money, bro. Yeah. You see some of that. I know it's not real gold, but and some of the cars rolling through there, they got cash. I'll say this. They may not have money, but they got cash. How's that?
they may not have money, but they got cash. Okay. Yeah. All right. So I was recently in the Dominican on vacation, and I was doing some research on all the Dominican players in the majors and the history of baseball there and blah, blah, blah. And then I was doing some more research on Venezuela because I know they've got a lot of, you know, guys in the pros and Puerto Rico as well. And I'm glad you're on for me to ask you, is there a substantial difference in the style of play or style of player between those three countries?
Dude, that's a great question because I have been thinking about that. I would say it's really
not
hard.
Particularly. I'll say it. Baseball's not particularly, still baseball.
But there's a different culture.
Right.
So what started a few years ago. So it is something that has happened. You'll see it. One of the signatures of the Puerto Rican team is they dye their hair platinum at the top. So what you'll see when they make a big hit or something, they'll take their hat off and they'll rub the top of their hair. It's just one. It's like this good luck thing. And when they get introduced and they all expose their platinum hair at the top. So if you have a Puerto Rican player on your major league team, he's going to show up with platinum hair. For the rest of the season, pretty much till it grows out. But that's one of the things. But no, I think that you know baseball has been baseball. I think it really depends on the personalities that happen to be on the team at the time. You've got Lindor and Javi Baez, you know, for the Puerto Rican team, you know, in the middle of the infield. That's a super flashy, real swaggy type of player. You know, Altuve is not. You know, for Venezuela, he's not real flashy and swaggy.
No.
Right? Real professional. And so the Venezuelan team, I will tell you, is there's something about – they are very businesslike. Now, they're intense. But they are on a mission. And by them out of the gate beating both Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic in this group, like their first two games were against those teams, and they beat them both back to back. It was – out of the gate. I mean, it was amazing.
It's funny because, you know, they have intense national pride, but Venezuela as a country is one of the most fucked up, imploded, non-functioning societies now. Mm-hmm. Yet, obviously, there still is that pride there. Like, look, we are trying, but we just have had this series of unbelievably kleptocratic asshat presidents. And one day we'll get it right down here. But for now, we're kind of fucked.
I will tell you, so, you know, we're American fans, then we're there. And, you know, we're sitting there, we buy all these tickets, and we, you know, we rented the house for 13 days in hopes of getting to see us make it, right? Watching us lose to Mexico by a million wasn't exciting, I'll tell you that. Right. But, you know, we're there, and you get caught up in it. We got great seats, and so we're kind of caught up in it. And we showed up because some of my son's favorite players and stuff were with the Dominican. I like, you know, they Soto. I just love these guys. And when they were playing Venezuela, I just loved this Venezuelan team, even though I hate Altuve, just the whole. But
why do you hate Altuve?
Oh, the whole the cheating thing. But then I'm a big Miggy guy. You know, being a Marlins, it's big Miggy guy. And during the game, I'm just watching it. I'm like, God, I like this team. And then the fans behind us, on the row behind us, is this group of five guys. Looks like they're lifelong friends, and they're Venezuelans. And they were awesome. Like, they were great, right? And they were so cool.
Yeah.
And they won the game, and it's kind of like, you know, gave them fist bumps at the end and stuff. And so you know, we're going to see them the next game. So the next game we go to the next morning is Venezuela versus, I think it was, yeah, it was Puerto Rico. And it all runs together. I saw so many games, two games a day for 3 days.
Doesn't matter.
So, but, you know, I was talking to my sons. I'm like, man, I'm pulling for Venezuela this game. So I went to the store, the team store. I bought a little Venezuelan flag. And then my son, my oldest son, he bought a T-shirt, a Venezuelan T-shirt.
Wow.
And so we show up to the seats, and they walk up too, and they see us, and they're like, oh, they gave us big hugs. So now
that's great.
And we're exchanging phone numbers and texting, like, it, you know, now
it's a beautiful thing, man.
So
it's so baseball great. And that's what sports can do. That's
you know what I really liked it too? And I'm gonna say this, you know, growing up a sports fan here in America, I don't know how to describe it. You know, I'm a Sooner, and you know, I'm not a fan of Texas. I don't like Texas. I hate Texas.
Well, you shouldn't be.
Right. And so it was never fun to those games. Like, you go to the game, I'm just miserable. But I will tell you that, because it was always like in your face and stuff. But when you're here, these stands are half and half. Okay. And I recorded a video of it. And I'm going to text it to you. It was the opening single, nobody on base, first inning, a single grounder up the middle. And the crowd was like, it was the game 7 winning hit. And it was, but it wasn't like in your face. And so here's all these fans, you know, half and half sitting amongst each other, and they're just having fun and allowing their other guys to celebrate.
That's
like,
good
no
stuff.
One was in your, there were no fights, no one in your face stuff. Like, and I just think of, you know, going to Jags games this year and, you know, fights everywhere.
Duval.
Yeah, Duval, baby. Hey, don't get me started, right? It was a hell of a year. We got more coming for you.
Oh,
be ready.
Oh, your patience as a long-suffering Jags fan is finally being rewarded. And all it took was 2 seasons through hell and a dipshit coach from college.
He was the worst.
Who was absolutely one of the worst.
I'm not going to dignify this happiness, that guy with ruining his happiness. We're not talking about. So, but seriously, it was just, it's such a unique, that's what I wanted to talk about was, you know, you can celebrate your team without getting in the face of the opponent.
Yeah, it's possible.
And it's a wonderful really great.
Thing. Wonderful thing. Let me do a hard pivot, 5 minutes or less on this final thing. For those that don't know, Spence grew up in Oklahoma, played quarterback in high school, Also, did you play baseball in high school, or did you get to come to baseball?
You know, I did not play an inning of baseball my entire life.
Okay, quarterback, football, and also golf, and was a PGA professional for a while. And Spence listened to my show on Sirius XM back in the day, Fox Sports Radio, and that's how we got to know each other. He invited me down to Jackson.
Where are you at? What's you hauling? Was like that's what hooked me.
What you hauling? And so he invited me down to Jacksonville. I was on my way to the Super Bowl to play Sawgrass, which was a real treat, even though it was the dead of winter and the course was semi-dormant, had the overseeded fairways and greens and tees, whatever. But a lot of the trees there at Sawgrass were not fully leafed out. I didn't know how many deciduous trees were on the property. So I do want to go back when it's in its full glory. But Spence and I played golf there, when we played a couple of the places, we got a cold snap. It was 40 degrees and windy. We went to play anyway because we had committed to playing. And Spence gave me the line of, you know, the coldest golf you'll ever play is in the state of Florida on these rare days in which you catch a bad weather break, but you've already decided you're going to play. So that was the case. And so that said, all as a preamble, I got to get your opinion on today's announcement by the USGA and the RNA that they're going to propose a rollback. The first time in the history of our grand game that the golfing authorities are going to try to roll the equipment back, at least in terms of the golf ball, for the top players in the so-called elite events. So far, the PGA Tour has not said anything about this. The Augusta has not said anything, nor has the PGA. They're sitting on the sidelines. This is going to go through like a seven-month review and comment period. Some people say it's long overdue. Others are saying, not so fast. What saith you?
So I am a strong supporter of bifurcation.
Okay.
So what bifurcation means is basically I think there should be equipment standards from the ball to equipment that are for tournament players, you know, elite tournament players, of which I'm one. I still play national events, USGA events. And the average guy. I think that's the way to grow the game, and here's why. Here's the analogy I use. If you go to one of the big box sporting goods stores, Zabe, and you want to buy a football because you want to throw the football around.
Right.
Well, how old are you now, Zabe?
I am 54 years young.
Okay.
I only feel 27.
How's your shoulder and throwing arm?
It's been better.
Yeah. Okay. So, but you would like to be able to throw a ball far. So when you go to these big box stores, okay, you can find a Nerf ball. Not only is it smaller to fit your hand and easier to throw and lighter, it's got freaking propulsion wings in the back of it to allow you to throw it like 70 yards. Okay. Why? Okay. Because you're the recreational guy that supports the game and wants to have a little fun throwing the ball around. Now, on that same wall is the exact ball that Patrick Mahomes uses. Okay, you can buy that if you want.
Oh, and it's a big old tight pigskin. It's big and round and full of belly, and you better have long, lean, grippy fingers to get a good handle on it. And yeah, no, it's a deal.
Okay.
I get it.
So in golf, why are they forcing a 54-year-old man to play by the same rules of hurting equipment as Rory McIlroy and his swing speed? Why are they forcing you, Steve Zabin?
Right.
Why are they forcing you to use equipment that they're regulating for Rory?
Okay.
Should have equipment regulated for Rory and then equipment and standards for the average guy.
All right. Okay, fine. Let me play the role of a police officer who has just arrived on the scene of a disturbance, and I'll ask the most simple question that the cop always asks. So what's the problem here?
The problem here is the course designs are strategic. So the problem here is right now the game has turned into – so there's a mixture of skill and athleticism in every sport. Some sports require more athleticism than skill. Some sports, I would call, let's say, pool, takes more skill than athleticism. Okay, but it's a sport. It's a game. Okay. And so some activities, physical activities and sports, there's always a balance and mix. What they've done with distance and the ball now is you don't have to have as big of a skill set to succeed in golf right now. All you have to learn how to do is hit it as far as possible.
Okay,
and
but
then learn how to hit. I'll explain this. I'll put it in a bow. If the ball goes 375, then all you need to learn how to do is hit a driver and a wedge to a par five. And you're hitting over bunkers that were placed there when this course was designed. Okay. So now if we can roll the ball back to the fit the golf course the way the course was designed to play strategically, your skill set has to increase. You have to have more skill. You have to have be able to hit a mid iron.
If I may interject, counselor. What is this going to then yield? More eyeballs on PGA Tour telecasts, more people playing the game at a recreational layer level? Is it going to result in more average players ranked 75 to 125 winning events over Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy and Jon Rahm? And if that all happens, how does anyone necessarily benefit? Because I don't think any of that's going to happen by rolling the ball back 10% for the highest swing speed guys out there. The scoring average on tour has been flat now for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And little teensy tiny guys like Justin Thomas, who's 5'10", 175 pounds soaking wet, is one of the longer guys on tour. What's the problem?
The problem is, like I said, you have taken out the amount of skill.
You're saying the game is not a game of skill. You're saying Scottie Scheffler, Jon Rahm, Rory McIlroy don't have skill, which I reject. I reject your argument, Spencer.
No. I'm saying they don't need as many different skills. They can be the best with fewer skill sets. What I mean by that is they don't have to hit five irons.
They have all the skills in the world. They hit their five iron 220 on a rope.
It is very difficult. It is extremely difficult to hit a drive 375 yards, right?
Nobody's hit straight. 375.
Yes, these guys do hit it.
Downwind with a big bounce. Carry distances. There are limits for those listening right now, and maybe if you're bored, you're bored, but I'll explain it to you. There are limits already in place.
317, is that what it is? 317?
Well, there's exit velocity limits by the USGA on golf balls in miles per hour off their testing machine. And 127 miles per hour swing speed. The average swing speed on tour for drivers is 114, which is moving like a mofo. I was in the simulator today, and I barely topped 100, and I felt pathetic. So 114 is the average on tour. The top guys, the complete freaks, could get to the 120s. But there's ways to mitigate against this. Higher rough, more trees, and there's another way to mitigate.
What is the most exciting shot in golf? The recovery?
It's all exciting. I love the game. I love seeing these guys perform at a high level. I think this is a solution in search of a problem. The whole myth of we're going to make 8,000-yard golf courses. The average length of most of the top courses in majors has been 72 to 7,500 yards, and it hasn't really budged up a whole lot in the last 10 years, and there's ways to make it harder. Marion, which held the U.S. Open when Justin Rose won it, was one of the shorter venues. But they mitigated that by growing rough so thick you could lose a dog in it. Fine.
Right.
Guys have to figure it out. It still produced a thrilling competition in my mind.
To me, this all – what got it for me is about – I think it was about 10 years ago. I'm watching the Travelers. So at Torrey Pines.
Okay.
Is that the Travelers? No.
No.
That's the State Farm, right?
State Farm at Torrey Pines, yes.
Yeah, I'm watching Torrey Pines. And the 18th hole is a par five, and there's two bunkers down the right that I'll be 53 this year. And for as long as I can remember, if you kind of push your drive a little bit, those bunkers eat up your drive. You got to lay up, and then you're wedging it over the pond.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Woodland's up there, last 72nd hole of the tournament. You know, I think he's only up by one stroke. Like, it's a tight tournament. He makes a swing. Big old one-arm finish. Like, one-arm finish. Guess where the ball went? Right down the effing middle of the fairway, 320 yards. He made a mistake, and there was no penalty to the mistake. You know why? Because he doesn't have to have a skill set because of today's equipment to hit it in the fairway.
I suppose, Spence, I suppose. All I know is this. If this rule passes, you are opening up Pandora's box to bifurcating every club in the bag.
Yeah.
And the manufacturers are going to go crazy. And
the manufacturers, if they do this right, they're going to make money, and here's why. I used to work for Nike Golf.
Yes.
Okay. Here's how you make money from bifurcation. Because
sell two sets of clubs. I know. But yes. here's the thing, though, as we bounce out here to Bing Crosby straight down the middle, just in honor of this. You're going to have your average Joe Blow at the club using an illegal ball, and it's going to be very hard to police. And that's going to be a potential nightmare. And if it's an illegal ball, then there's going to be an illegal driver, and there's going to be a lot of shady shit going on, because I know guys at private clubs that will do this kind of stuff to win a flight.
Yep.
But, hey, we'll see if it passes.
Hey, they're already shady with handicaps, so what's new?
I know. That's a very good point. You know what? We'll see if it passes. Hey, Spence, it's great to catch up with you. We'll talk Jaguars next visit, all right?
Brother, you got it.
All right, pal. Talk to you. See you later.
See ya.
There you go.
I was never keener to play. I heard it ping down the middle. It went zing down the middle. Oh, the life of a golfer is not all gloom.
Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.